Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
I think it's safe to say we are in a culture that is an absolute collapse. Complete collapse. But let me ask you a question. What you just saw prior to the song and during the song, can I ask you a question? How did it make you feel? Did it make you feel angry? Because my hope today is to help us understand how God has called us to respond to a culture in collapse. This message today is about not just the next generation, but our entire generation, what's happening in our culture, in our world. I was praying this morning, and God really put something so strongly in my heart. He said, if you're angry at the culture in collapse, then they become your enemy. But if your heart breaks for them, they become your mission field. And can I tell you something that we're called to do as the church? We're not called to be angry. Paul said this. He said, I've come to you and I've determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he was in some crazy cultures. Doesn't mean there isn't a right and wrong. It doesn't mean that you can't be overwhelmed by it. But if our response as the church is anger, then they have become our enemies. But if we learn to respond like Jesus, they become our mission field. And today I want to talk to you about that. I want to talk to you about what God's word says about spiritual blindness in our world. It's so blind. And it's not the generation coming. It's also the generation that have led them. Spiritual blindness is so pervasive. Listen to what Jesus said about spiritual blindness. In Matthew 15, verse 14, he said this. They are blind men leading blind men. And when a blind man leads a blind man, they both end up in a ditch. You can't get somewhere without sight, not properly. And we live in a world where people are so angry and so boastful of their opinions and so boastful of their blindness. And I want to help us today to approach this in a perspective to not be a person that's against something, somebody, or some issue, but a messenger of Christ in the earth to be able to go into every man and woman's world, no matter what it is, and bring a message of redemption. That's our call. Spiritual blindness. I mean, it's horrible. The more you see what happens in our world, and I'll show you in a while why in Scripture why it will only get worse as long as spiritual blindness is so pervasive. But if you're not careful, it can make you hopeless. People have said to me, I can't count how many times when they're young and getting married, they say, you know, I just don't want to have kids in this world. I got bad news for you. This is the only world you can have them in. There is not, you can't go to another planet. You've got to do it here. But what they're saying is, and this isn't just, by the way, this isn't just Christians who feel this way. People in general are looking at what's happening in the culture and in the world, and they're afraid. Where does this stop? Where does light that has been turned, that is literally darkness that has been portrayed as light, where does it end? It ends with total, utter anarchy and annihilation. And it doesn't come from human beings. And I want you to see that today. Human beings are the pawns that are getting used and destroyed. But God's word tells us something that he promises about this generation and the generations to come if we will do what he asks us to do. Can I tell you this, and please hear my heart today, and I would ask you as well to try to stick around to the end, because you're probably at some point in this, I may deeply offend you. But the Bible said that you should hear a matter to the end, otherwise you're foolish. You can hate me at the end. That's okay. But I'd like you to listen to the whole way through. Because what I've learned is that when you present God as he is, you anger two groups of people. People that are in rebellion against him and self-righteous people. And neither one's a good place to be. My hope's not to anger anybody, but to bring truth and revelation from God's plan and God's word. Listen to what he said to us about the issues of their day and our day. God said these words, and this is for every one of us. Do not be afraid. Say it out loud. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, not you, not me, but God working through us. God said, I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Now listen to God's purpose for man. Everyone who was called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God's telling you, I made people to reflect my glory. I want them to reflect my image. But then he tells us the issue of their life and that he's going to give us the grace to help them. He says this in verse 8. So lead those out who have eyes but are blind and have ears but are deaf. He said, I'm going to teach you how to lead those who have eyes and can't see and ears but can't hear. Again and again in the Bible says that they see but they don't see and they hear but they don't hear. How do you help someone who's in spiritual blindness? And that is so incredibly important because the reality of it is this. You can hear and not hear. Anybody, if you're a parent raising kids, you know that's true. How many of you ever sat down with your kids, they looked you right in the eyes, you told them something you wanted them to do, you came back, they didn't do it, and they look you right in the eyeballs and say, I never heard you say that. How about you ever look across the room and a crowd and you know someone you know has just made eye contact, you're certain, I know they saw me. So you do one of these, hey, and they just go, and you think, what did I do to you? They really didn't see you. They were looking right at you, but didn't see you. You can be looking at something, but if you're spiritually blind, you're helpless. I want to talk to you about three things that bring spiritual blindness and destruction and three ways and keys to escaping that spiritual blindness today. And my hope is that no matter where you find yourself in this spectrum, that you understand that the only hope of the world, listen to me, the only hope for spiritual blindness is the light of the world. And he's not a religion, he's a person. And he's not dead, he's alive, his name's Jesus. The first thing that brings spiritual blindness and destruction is when people are ignorant of God. Ignorance. I need a little help. So if you'll bring out some, I have a little help back here. Come on, walk him out, Mike. Well, it's actually two mics. Mike is watching, walking Mike out. So just get him over here by me. And stop now. Just let him go. Get away from him and keep walking. Oh, keep in. No, stop. Okay. You work for here. You work at Victory. So it would be workman's comp. We don't want to do that. So, you know. Now, don't say anything. But how many of you think if it may not change your life, but how many of you think this would, you know, just maybe make today a little easier on the way out? Yeah, okay. Now, it doesn't answer everything, but it doesn't hurt either, right? So, now, Mike, I want you to do something for me, okay? I want you to describe. Now, listen, this is something that is available to you, okay? And I want you to describe this wonderful thing that's available for you to have right now in detail. Please, no, you can't touch. No touch. You are spiritually blind, okay? So, I want you to look. Tell me what you see.
I'm just going to guess. But
what do you see?
I see blackness.
Okay, well, here's what I want you to do then. Listen, I want you to try harder. Okay, now squint. You know what? Pray. Fast. How about this? Let me criticize you for not. Why can't you see this? What's the matter with you? Does that help you see this?
No.
What's the only thing that's going to help you see this?
Take this off.
Well, go ahead and take it off. And there was $400, okay? By the way, you ain't getting it. Give him a hand and thank him, would you? Ignorance. When you cannot see, you cannot perceive. It doesn't matter if God's good. It doesn't matter about the truth if you can't see it. Ephesians 4, Paul gives us a revelation that is so absolutely spot on to the world we live in today. Let me read it to you about ignorance. In Ephesians 4:17, Paul said, so I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you, the Christian, must no longer live as the Gentile. I don't have time to explain that, but that basically is referring to those who don't know God. You must no longer live as the Gentile does in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Paul said because they're spiritually blind and because they're ignorant and because their hearts are hardened toward God, then they have been given over in that blindness to think they are going to make their life better by indulging in every form of sensuality, every form. And if you look in the world we're living in today, there are forms I didn't know existed, and they're making them up as you go. Evil and evil upon evil, not people, human beings being assaulted by this in their darkness. Again, if this angers you for people, if you're mad at the people in the dark, then they're your enemy, and you are not a messenger that represents God well. But if your heart, listen to me, breaks for every person spiritually blind, they become your mission field. And by the way, every one of us who are in the light came out of that same place. We came out of the same place. And by the mercy of God, that ignorance has been replaced. But then he said this, and even though they give themselves over to everything they can to fill that blindness and to satisfy that insatiable need, he said, all it leaves them with, listen to this statement, is a continual lust for more. That sounds just like addiction, doesn't it? Addiction is epidemic in our culture, epidemic. It's drug addiction. Deaths by drug overdose are epidemic. And they aren't bad people. These are people that are blind and hurting. And they're trying to solve a problem that this never solves. They're trying to salve an issue in their heart and pain in their heart. And all it leaves them with is a continual lust for more. Spiritual darkness and spiritual blindness brings you to destruction. No matter if you live in a world where the blind lead the blind and they all proclaim it's wonderful, in a world that celebrates the dark and calls it light, the world that celebrates the person bound and dying and suffering because it makes them feel better to celebrate them rather than to say there's a way out of your darkness. Because to say a way out is politically incorrect because you're saying, I'm not okay as I am. No, can I tell you, you are loved by God just like you are, but he loves you so much, he refuses to leave you where you are in your place of darkness and blindness and spiritual death and depravity. He loves people. And people who love people are brokenhearted over depravity and brokenness in their life. You don't celebrate a disease, you cure it. You look at it as the enemy that it is. Not the person. The person is a treasure. The Bible calls every human being the precious fruit of the earth. The second thing that will bring you into spiritual blindness and destruction is when you reject the truth. When you reject the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to my Father except through me. No one. I'm the only way. Because I'm the only one who will come and pay the debt of your sin. No one else, God himself came in flesh to be judged in my place. What an act of grace and mercy. And Jesus showed us a picture of somebody bound to darkness and how light was meant to set her free. You know her as the story in the Bible where the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery and the religious crowd brought her before Jesus in the morning at a teaching meeting. And he said, Jesus, the law of God says to stone her and kill her. But what do you say? The Bible said they used her as just a prop to trap Jesus. They didn't kill her. They couldn't care less about her. They were willing to murder her just for their efforts. Jesus ignored them and knelt down on the ground, started writing. And then they continued bothering him about it. Then he finally got up and he said, all right, whoever's without sin among you, you go ahead and cast the first stone. And they all disappeared. Let's pick it up right there in John 8, verse 9. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman standing there. Only Jesus was left there. Jesus straightened up and he asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Here's what he's saying to her. Where are these people that embarrassed you today? Where are these people that shamed you in public? because they wanted something and couldn't see you, and you didn't matter to them. You were nothing but a prop. Where are they right now? The people that were so bold and so self-righteous to condemn you, where are they? And understand, they're listening to Jesus. And I wish I had time to tell you the whole story. He ticked them off so royally. He ended up this whole discourse by calling, literally saying, "You're murderers," to the religious rulers. "You are of your father, the devil, and you're a murderer, just like he is." How many of you know there ain't no offering after that sermon? But listen to this. He said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus was full of grace and truth. When Jesus spoke again now to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, people in the dark are trapped. This is a woman who is trapped in the dark. She didn't even come for forgiveness. She was drugged there. And Jesus simply said this. He said, "I don't condemn you." But then he didn't just leave it there in the way our culture does. Everybody's fine. Everything's wonderful. Who am I to judge? Can I tell you something as a Christian? You better understand how to judge evil from good. In fact, the Bible says if you can't discern good from evil, you're spiritually immature. But don't ever put people in that mix where you condemn and say there's no hope for you. Please don't do that to people. God doesn't. Jesus didn't do it to this woman. He said, this is God in flesh looking at a woman moments out of an adulterous bed. She was having sex less than hours before this with a man she's not married to. And the Son of God looked her in the face with all of the pressure around him of the people who shamed her. And he said, "I don't condemn you." And then he said, "Now leave your life of sin." And then he told her how. He said, "Because I am the light of the world. And when you walk in me, you walk, darkness has no place in you." She just met God, not a picture of God, not a representative of God. God himself in human flesh said, "I don't condemn you." God himself in human flesh said, "Now go leave your life of sin." And then he said, "I'll tell you why she's free, because she just met the light of life." It's only getting in the light that will cause people to escape spiritual darkness. Yet so often in our culture, people are rejecting the truth. And when you reject the truth, you fall headlong into darkness. Is it any wonder that the culture that we live in, set ablaze of hell, is fighting the concept of truth, saying it doesn't exist? Your truth, my truth, his truth. Your sunrise day time, my sunrise time. The sun rose for me at 8:42 today. How about you? Well, 5:53. How about you? 6:04. It rose when it rose. You don't get to have your own truth. It is what it is. And Jesus said, "I am the truth." That's not subjective. It's not optional. But we live in a world that says there is no such thing. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said the truth will make you free, and the only thing he said that will bring you into the light and make you free has been so devalued in our culture that people eliminate even the possibility of walking into the very avenue that takes them to the place of freedom. It's called spiritual blindness. And it doesn't come from clever people. Because you have to understand this. You have to understand this. When people are in the dark, they're angry. I know when I was far from God in my heart, I gave my life to Christ as a teenager and then walked away from God for a good period of time. And I have to just tell you, being the light made me angry. I came to a point where my mom, being a Christian, always trying, you know how parents do, she's always trying to talk to me about Jesus, and she wasn't oppressive about it, but finally I just said to her, I said, "Listen, don't ever talk to me about Jesus again. I don't want to ever hear his name again. Am I clear? Leave me alone." That's pretty plain. But what my mom couldn't know and what you wouldn't know is that that was coming out of my mouth, that it wasn't what was in my heart. I was trapped in the dark. And the last thing you need in the dark is somebody throwing more darkness on you, someone explaining your blindfold instead of helping you take it off. And the church has been so good at explaining the dark, but not giving a flip for the people trapped. "Yeah, but I have righteous indignation, and I'm right. I'm dead right, but you're still dead. If you don't produce life with your response like Jesus did, then what are we doing? Well, I put it on, I put my opinion on Facebook. Really? Is that what we're called to do? Ignore. I want to plead with you for the people you know, whether they're a part of your family or people in the culture who are trapped in the dark. And I'll explain this in a minute. I want you to ignore their words. I want you to ignore their behavior. And I want you to use your efforts, even if you have to set boundaries, and you might, to get them into the light. My words should never be a punishment. My actions should never be a punishment. My boundaries should never be a punishment. And you may be in a situation in your family through addiction and other things. You have to set boundaries. And it will break your heart. But even the setting of boundaries is not a punishment. It's to give the person the opportunity to feel the dark and not being able to stay in the dark so they can come into the light. Please don't let one scene in your life or the life of a person that you know or love or don't know or love define their life. One scene doesn't make a story. Jesus didn't come because and give up on me because of one scene in my life. He came to write a story of redemption. He came to take me out of my darkness and bring me into the light and to rescue me and to rescue you and rescue a culture in decay, a culture literally collapsing in front of us. And the church is the only, listen to me, please. Jesus is the light of the world. He said to us, you now are the light of the world. Jesus is the only hope of the world. But by the way, just if you don't know, he is seated right now at the right hand of God and the majesty on high. And he has delegated to the church, which is his body, the mission to represent him. And so if Jesus is the only hope of the world, then listen to me. You are the only hope of this world to get them out of the dark. You're the only hope. And if we don't respond like Jesus, I'm telling you, the God of this world will continually keep them blinded, which is the third thing that keeps people in spiritual blindness. The God, small g, of this world. The Bible refers to Satan as the God, small g, of this world because he's been given authority. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3 says this, if the good news we preach is hidden to anyone, it's hidden from the one who is on the road to eternal death. Satan, who is the god of this evil world, has made him blind. Say it out loud, Satan made him blind. You understand, you don't want to focus on the person and their blindness. You want to focus on the source of their blindness. You don't want to sit like me screaming at Mike saying, try harder to see. You want to figure out, and how do I get that blinder off? Satan, who is the god of this world, has made him blind, unable to see the glorious light of the gospel that is shining upon him, or to understand the amazing message we preach about the glory of Christ, who is God. See, the gospel is a message. It's called good news. That's literally what it means in the Greek. Gospel means good news. Here's the good news. You are dead in your sin, and there is no hope for you. Well, that sounds lousy. And you are condemned to hell. Well, whoop-de-doo. That was good news. But God sent his son, because God in his righteousness has to judge sin. But God came in human flesh and poured out his righteous judgment on himself. And he bore my debt and he bore my punishment for me. That's the gospel. And now any person from any walk of life, no matter what they've done, how they've done it, who they've done it with on purpose, if you shook your finger at God and dropped every F-bomb, every curse word you can in his face, his love for you is unchanging. He is available in a moment. He'll redeem you. That's the God of the Bible. And that's the God we are to represent for people. Isn't it interesting that the one that blinds the mind, the Bible tells us that he masks himself as a messenger or an angel of light. Look what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11:4. It's, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Isn't that interesting? You notice Satan doesn't come into people's lives. You say, well, I don't believe in Satan. I'm too educated. Sir, ma'am, I don't mean to offend you, but you're way too educated. You say, but somebody taught me that. They're going to die someday, and so are you. I would not trust my eternity to somebody you don't even know. I'd get on my knees and say, God, are you real? Did Jesus tell the truth? Because your eternity is a long time to figure out, because you're going to die someday. And when you stand before God, it's not the time to figure out, dog, that dude was wrong. That lady was wrong. Don't trust your soul to people in the dark. The blind lead the blind, and you both fall into the ditch. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It's so critically important that we grasp these things in our heart. It's unimaginably important that we love people into the light. And there are three ways that you can escape spiritual darkness. Oh, how Satan masquerades as an angel of light. The lies he tells to people. How many of you would love to have a meal from the best chef in the world? Come on, I would. Now, some of you might be too young to really care about food. How many of y'all know you get to an age and food becomes like really nice? But let's just say this chef makes the best kind of food in the world, which of course is Italian food. And you may disagree, but of course you're wrong. So here's the thing. But he's the best chef in the world. He's going to make Southern Italy cuisine, because Northern Italy is wonderful, but it's not the same. And so it's going to be the best food ever prepared, and you are going to get to eat it. Hallelujah. But he brings this wonderful food out, and it's an angel of light. He said, but listen, I just put a little poison in it, but you won't taste it. You'll be okay. It's going to kill you, but I promise you, it won't affect the flavor. How many of you are going to say, well, yeah, I want to eat that? No, no matter, I don't care. See, that's what Satan does. He comes as an angel of light. He says, I will solve your problem by this, but I will then trap you in darkness with an insatiable lust for more, and you will end up on a path that will destroy everything you love and touch if you listen to me completely. And there are three simple keys for people to escape spiritual darkness. Number one is this, and this is huge. God's people must be like Jesus. They must be like Jesus. God's people have to act like him. We have to have his perspective. Again, with what I said to you earlier, what the Holy Spirit, I believe, really spoke to my heart about, that if you see people in the dark, and you're just simply angry, and that's all you are, they're your enemy. But if your heart breaks for them, they become your mission field. Look at James chapter 1, verse 20 says about human anger. Human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. I understand being angry. Look, sure things make us angry. That's okay. But being angry does not achieve God's righteous purpose. Redemption does that. The gospel does that. And people in the dark don't need my anger. Yeah, but someone needs to tell them. No, they really don't. Any more than someone needed to tell Mike to yell at him because he's blind with a blindfold on. It didn't make him see anymore. It just, if anything, would have frustrated him. We must be like Jesus in dealing with people. We have to be. Righteous anger will make you self-righteous. Because here's the prayer the Pharisees prayed, and Jesus said that they were self-righteous, and man, he had a whole list of stuff that he called them. And there's a whole list of things Jesus said to self-righteous people that you don't want to be called. The only place Jesus was brutally direct and, if you will, sounding unkind were to those who thought they were righteous without God. And here's the prayer. He said, here's the prayer of the self-righteous. God, I thank you. He said, actually, they would strike their chest. God, I thank you. And they do it in public. That I'm not like those people. Do you think the darkness you came out of is better than the darkness they came out of? Self-righteousness, when you think that you're better than someone else based on yourself. The only good in me is God. The only reason I've been redeemed is a redeemer. The only reason I stand righteous before God is because the righteousness of Christ in me when he took my sin. And I had no reason for God. God, I gave him no reason to love me like that, but he did. And as Christians, if we're not careful, we will not have Jesus' heart towards people that are broken and lost and in spiritual blindness. Jesus prophesied right prior to his death, in those 3 years he was preaching and speaking, about the destruction of Jerusalem. And he said, the day is coming when he was at the temple, when this temple, there'll not be one stone standing. And he spoke prophetically about the destruction of Jerusalem. which happened after his resurrection a few years down the road. And 1 million people in Jerusalem, Jews, were murdered. 1 million. And many of the others that were left alive were taken into slavery. If you go to Rome, and Michelle and I just had the marvelous privilege of being able to take an amazing trip of a lifetime. If you go to the Roman Colosseum today and at the ruins there, they'll tell you, the tour guide will tell you that there's a temple. It's the Temple of Venus in Roma. And you could see it right beside the Colosseum. You could see the Ark of Titus. And he said, oh, these were built after the fall of Jerusalem, and Jews were taken here as slaves, and they carried the ruins, building materials, literally from Jerusalem, and those are made from the fall of Jerusalem. Jesus foretold that would happen. And now I want you to see what he said over Jerusalem. Now, you have to remember, these are the people that are about to crucify him. You're going to see in a minute that these are people that he said that literally murdered the messengers God sent to them. And I think if it were today in much of the church vernacular, his response would sound very different. But I would hope our response would maybe be like his, and instead of trying to change Jesus into our self-righteous anger. Let me read it to you. In verse Matthew 23:37, Jesus said this over Jerusalem. And this is from his heart. He's crying out, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones all those who God sends her. I give you messengers of light, and you kill them and stay in the dark." And listen to what Jesus said over the very people that he knows are soon to be destroyed and annihilated by the Roman government. "How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now your house is left to you desolate." Notice what Jesus didn't say. He said, "You that stone the prophets, the messengers that were sent to you, you that cling to the dark." Notice that he didn't cry out in anger. There's coming a judgment. This city's going to be rocked and ruined. And 1 million of you are going to be graveyard dead, and you deserve every bit of it. And you're about to kill me. Your day's coming, big boy. That's the voice of the church to the world, largely. And I pray that's never our voice. Never let this church reflect that voice so contrary to yours. And I pray every one of us judge the way we perceive people in the dark. Again, remembering we came out of the same place. It's so easy to get caught up in the dark, isn't it? Even our response throws us in the dark. But listen to what Jesus said. "I've longed to care for you. I longed to protect you." Listen, "but you wouldn't let me." That's the only thing stopping people from receiving redemption is letting him. He said, and he's not saying this with glee. He's saying, "Now your house is desolate, left to you. You don't know what's about to happen. It doesn't have to be this way. How long? I've longed for you. I've longed to make your life better." Everybody you saw in those videos, I don't know what went off inside of you. Every one of those, if Jesus were here looking at each one, talking to each one, even the guy that was dressed like a woman talking to little kids. And if you know that story, that was about bringing people that cross-dress into, I think, public libraries to read stories to children. That was brilliant. How dark can you get? Not the person. The mindset that we're going to make the world better. We'll bring the darkest, most insatiable lust and brokenness, and we'll show children how normal this should be. That doesn't make it better. All it does is confuse a child and tell the person in the dark that stay in the dark. It's good for you. It's who you are. The messenger of darkness, the messenger of light, who tries to masquerade the darkness in the light. These things are so critically important. We have got to be Jesus to people. He would look at every one of those people and he would say, "I long to care for you. I long to make you whole. I long to set you free. I don't want your house to be desolate." That's got to be the heart cry of the church. And that's why I want you to understand something. And I pray you understand my heart. God knows I'm not being critical of anybody. People have every right to an opinion. They really do. But I'm telling you that I know that God himself has burned a desperate, and I mean desperate, I don't know how to explain the word desperate to you any better than desperate, a desperate passion in my life for a culture in the dark. Desperate. That's why we did something like we did today. You do know that when we do this, people write stuff about me. You know that, right? People don't like this. Christians. I don't think that's appropriate to do in the house of God. Let me tell you what I don't think is appropriate in the house of God. Some half-dead, self-righteous, non-caring about lost people, Christian. That doesn't belong in the house of God. That's what doesn't belong here. Just like Paul went on Mars Hill and he used the poets of the day to speak into their life. That's all we're doing. Well, I don't like it. I tell you what, I don't care. You know why? Because God says, be like Jesus. And you might want to consider that. I don't know. You might not. You might want to hold on to your anger and your self-righteousness. You'll be dead in a while. Talk to him about it. I'm serious. I'm not joking. You could, just a little bit. I don't care how old you are. You're going to die soon. This life goes like that. You can look at God and tell him why you were wrong. He was wrong and you were right. I don't think you want to be in that conversation. I'm trying to show you that if we as the church of Jesus do not grab his heart for people in spiritual blindness. That's why this church is so committed to the next generation. It's why I make no apology for a campus that is built for kids and young adults and students in high school. And that's ticked off a lot of people too. Oh, y'all know that, don't you? Can I tell you the truth? Look, we're 25 years old as a church, so I thought it might best. Look, after you're doing something 25 years, you lose your filter. How many of you, come on, man, old people lose their filter, right? Go find an 85-year-old, walk up to them, put on 40 pounds. They'll look at you and go, oh, Lord, you're fat. There's such a passion that God has placed in this church, not just in me, but in people in this church to reach the next generation. That's why it's an intergenerational church. And you may be here this morning. I'm so sorry I forgot your name. I met a precious older woman at Walmart the other day. And she said she and her husband come here. And I stopped and I said, I want to thank you because I know you don't like our music. She goes, I like the Gaithers. And she's right. And listen, our Monday night Bible school has a lot of John Spencer-like people in it. If you go to our Monday night Bible school, you go in there playing Gaither music. No, it's fine. It's wonderful. They love it. It speaks to their heart. But she is coming here. And I don't know how old she is, and I don't want to guess because that's not a good thing to do. If it was her husband, I'd give you a number. But let's just say she's not in her 40s. So why in the world would you come to this church? Because they love the next generation more than they love a song. And thank God for people that are doing that in this church, and you are making an amazing difference. That's why Victory Kids, that's all of our elementary, Echo, our middle school, and Sozo, our high school group. Do you know that both Echo and Sozo have 50 adult leaders who have committed to lead small groups? And these are people for Sozo, that's our high school group, coming every Wednesday night for a year to meet with your student on Wednesday night in a small group after the service. A human being who takes their time to meet with your child. And here's my question. Are you so in the dark that your child's somewhere else? Because I'm telling you, the only thing your child's going to live in freedom if he gets and she gets in the light. And until people hear God with skin, until they receive love, acceptance, and kindness from people that are in his body, God's grace through people, they'll never know the freedom they should know. Every one of us should be in a small group. I have mine tonight. The second thing, and I really am winding down. What's that mean? Probably not much. The second thing is this. To escape spiritual darkness, your blinders have to be removed. They really do. Because you can see and not see. You really can. Now, my wife has X-ray vision or something because she sees things I can't. My closet, I can't find stuff. I can't find stuff anywhere. But I'll go in, honey, do you know where such, yeah, babe, I'm pretty sure it's on your shelf. I said, okay. And I go back in and I touch and move everything, I mean everything, on that shelf. And I know it's not there. So inside, I don't tell her this, baby, I'm sorry. But inside, I'm thinking, all right, this time I'm right. And I said, hey, honey, would you mind helping me? Because I've looked through everything. And she goes, yeah, sure. She walks in a second. Here, it's right here. Thinking, it's a voodoo woman. Man, come on. You can have eyes but not see. Blinders have to be removed. In Matthew 13, listen to this. Jesus spoke these words about, and he was quoting the prophet Isaiah. He said, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. And by the way, just so you know, Jesus accepted the word of God as the word of God. You understand, he's quoting God's word to people. So Jesus accepted scripture as God's word. You might want to. Just a thought. Well, that's not popular. Well, that's a brilliant way to live your life. But anyway, that's another sermon. He said, and then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, that you will ever, listen, you will be ever hearing but never understand. You'll be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. Everybody say turn. And listen to the outcome. I would heal them. See, you have to see in order to turn. Turn just means repent, by the way. It means to turn in the other direction, away from the dark and walk to the light. He said, but they can't do it if they can't see it. If they can't see it, they won't turn. If they won't turn, they won't be healed. And he's crying out, I long to make them whole. So what's our job as the church? The third thing that will get people out of darkness is the light must be brought to them. Everybody say brought to them. It has to be brought to people. It has to be brought to people. That's why one of the reasons we're celebrating, we're going to do a lot of things. You're going to be hearing a lot more in the weeks coming, starting very, very soon, about our 25th anniversary celebration. But one of the things we're doing very intentionally on our 25th anniversary, because we're celebrating over two weekends, is on October 30th, or 20th, I'm sorry, Saturday, we're having a serve day. What's that mean? That means, wouldn't it be amazing to see couple plus thousand people, a victory people with shirts on that represent Jesus, serving in every imaginable way all over this region. Because church doesn't exist in these walls. It's a way to illustrate that we are not here to take, we are here to serve and to make life better for people. That's why we're trying to illustrate in every way we can. And this is going to be our first annual serve day, and it's only going to grow. Because we as God's people have got to be seen as an answer, not someone who's a critic. Y'all understand critics never do anything. You'll never see a statue built to a critic. Movie critics, if they were that brilliant, they'd make movies. Don't be the critic. Be the light. Don't define the dark. Don't be articulate about the dark. Be articulate about the answer and redemption. Romans 10:14 says this. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring this good news of the gospel. I'm going to encourage you to do what Paul did. He said, I've determined to know nothing among you but Jesus and him crucified. When you get something out of me about what's happening over here, I'm going to talk to you about my Redeemer, not my opinion about your dark or my dark. Let me close with the story, and then we're going to pray. I want to pray for everyone in this room. I'm going to pray in two areas. And please stick around. I normally don't even speak this long. You're usually out of here by now. But how many of you think 10 minutes might be worth someone's eternity? You think? So we'll be done in 10 minutes. Michelle and I were in Europe. We had a tour guide that took us to Normandy for a day trip, and it was remarkable. And, you know, I began to engage him, and Michelle and I were talking to him, and I knew he wasn't a Christian. And I don't know if you've ever been or heard about the catacombs in Paris, France. It's crazy. These hundreds of miles of tunnels under the city where they brought these buried people. I thought they were in, like, tombs. They're stacks of bones along the... It's crazy. And there's a word for the people that hang out in the catacombs, and I forget the term, but they kind of go there and they hang out, and he's been doing it since he's a kid. He's one of those people. Really interesting guy. And we're talking, and here it comes finally. And what do you do? Well, here we go. I'm a pastor. Oh. Here's what he's thinking. Oh my God, how could anybody live that miserable life? How could anybody just go to some stupid church, sing stupid songs, talk to nobody, and go home? Eleanor Rigby. No, that's too old. Everyone knows the Beatles. That old preacher just darning his socks, making no difference. And I could tell he had no concept of a redeemer. So what did I do? Did I talk to him about everything wrong? And I just said, can I just talk to you about Jesus? Because I actually quoted Jesus to him. And then when he found out what I did, he said, I was wondering how you knew that. And we were talking about something political and I quoted Jesus. And he said, wow, you know, that's interesting. And so he said, so that's how you know what Jesus said. I said, yeah. So I began to talk to him about everything I talked to you about right now. Just engaging him in how a redeemer came. This guy lit up like a Christmas tree. He wasn't opposing God. He didn't hate God. He hated the lousy image that he had seen in the death of religion. He's like, really? I said, you know, there's a thing called Hillsong. You never heard of it. I said, there's a church right in, and we looked it up on phones, and he said, that's right by where I live. I said, why don't you take you and your girlfriend go this weekend? I said, you'll hear stuff like this. He said, really? I said, there's a place like that here. I said, you'll love it. And the music's incredible. You'll love it. Go. Yeah, okay, we're going to go. Now, here's a man who's hanging in the catacombs who thinks church is a joke because a lot of it is. I say that out loud. Because, if it isn't telling what Jesus did for people, it's a game. It's a club. It's the Kiwanis Club. Nothing. If you're Kiwanis Club, we love you. Love the Kiwanis. I don't know if that means you're a bear. I don't know what that means, but I know they do good stuff. Come on, man. And now he's going to go hear the gospel at Hillsong Church. He follows me now on Instagram. Yes. Why? Why would he follow a preacher? Because he heard something about a redeemer. And he wanted to hear more. People in the dark have to be told. The light has to be brought. You are the messenger to bring it or keep it in your pocket. And if you don't tell them, they will not know. They will stay in the dark while we just be angry and remain critical. Would you bow your heads with me, please? I want to pray for every person here under the sound of my voice. Before I pray for anybody that doesn't know God, I want to pray for those of us who say we do. If you're here today and you say, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. You're my Savior. But you know, I don't know that I've really thought of people and represented you well, even in my words, even in my Facebook and posts. I'm so angry. Forgive me. If you're here today and you're like me, say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be more like you. Help me to see people that are bound to spiritual darkness, the same darkness you brought me out of. Help me to have a compassion and a love for them, a sacrificial love, where they become my mission field, not my enemy. Lord, my prayer is that the church would simply be the church, because so many are not rejecting you. They're rejecting the false image of you portrayed by many of your followers. Lord, I ask you to help us not to do that. Lord, I ask you to help us for the remainder of this playlist series to go find people in the dark and bring them here so they can experience the light of life. Help us to care enough to go into the dark, to stand between the living and the dead and make a difference and not just put a post about what we don't like or just be critical or ignore it. Help us to be like you, Jesus. Help us to long for their freedom. Help us to long for their freedom. Help us to long for their freedom. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I didn't ask you if you're a good person. I hope you are. I didn't ask you if you go to church. That's fine if you do. But going to church won't make you right with God. Well, I was baptized. That's great, but it doesn't make you a Christian. Nothing, no one, no church, no sacrament, no pastor, no priest, no anything, no anybody, no amount of good living. Nothing will make you right with God except a Redeemer. Jesus died for you. You may have a distaste for religion, but Jesus is not a religion. He is the Son of God, and he has died and risen from the dead, and he bore your sin debt, and God's wrath was poured out on him for you and for me. When you die, you will pay for your sins, or you will receive, have had to receive payment. The payment for your sins has already been made. You can either receive that payment, which the Bible calls it a free gift of God's love, grace, and mercy, or you can die and pay for it yourself. But it will be paid for. That's why the message of the gospel is so critical. Because there really is a heaven and there really is a hell, and everybody on planet Earth is moving toward their death day. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, and those of you watching online, if you've never given your life to Christ or you're not sure, you'd say, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Say, Pastor, please include me. I'm not going to embarrass you or single you out. We will all pray the prayer out loud together right with you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just simply raise your hand right where you're seated and I'll pray for you. Do it right now. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Another, I thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Listen, if you didn't raise your hand yet because you were afraid I was going to trick you and embarrass you, you can see I'm not. So if you didn't raise your hand, you'd say, Pastor, I really do want to be included in that prayer. Right where you're seated right now, lift your hand and I'll include you as well. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Do it right now and I'll pray for you as well. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen, if you raised your hand or you should have, pray this out loud. We're going to pray it with you. This isn't some dead religious prayer. You're inviting the living God, the risen Christ to come into your life and to exchange for you your sin for his righteousness. That's what's about to happen. And your life's about to change for eternity. And we celebrate with you. But pray it out loud where you hear it as we pray it together with you. Pray it out loud where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I make a decision today. And I receive you into my life to be my Lord and to be my Savior. Thank you for coming. I will live for you because you died for me. Thank you for taking me out of the dark. I am now heaven bound and you are the Lord of my life. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.